Hallelujah. All right, let's look at God's word this morning. Amen. We're looking at the anatomy of confession. We just want to move ahead. And last week, we established some things. And this morning, we're going to pick up from James chapter 3. And as we pick up, I just want to say one or two things for those who are just coming, who may not be conversant with what we're looking at. We're looking at the anatomy of confession. Why do we declare God's word? Why do we confess? Why are we bold to do those things? Because I discovered that I've been a Christian for over 25 years, and I discovered that a lot of Christians don't understand why we do what we do. Why do we confess? Christianity is called the Great Confession. In the early church, they called it the Great Confession. It means that before you can become a Christian, you start out by confessing. And if you want to stay a Christian, by staying a Christian, I mean if you want to stay in victory, you have to keep confessing. And so a lot of Christians, the reason why they've never embraced the message of confession is because it feels foolish. It goes contrary to what the environment says. It's not something they learn from their friends. Even everything about them doesn't look like they should confess. But everything about you is telling you something. We receive information every day. Think people and things are speaking to us. We may not be conscious that they are speaking, but they are speaking. And so if you don't have an answer within you, which is God's word, to respond to the situation in your environment, you will have issues, and victory will seem far from you. And so when looking at God's word, what does the Bible have to say about the importance of confession? Because if we don't understand these principles, we will not have victory consistently. You were not designed to have victory occasionally. The provisions of God so abound that you are meant to have victory every single day. But the Bible says, He daily loads us with what? Benefits. Now, the major thing we looked at last week was the fact that when you come into God's presence, we looked at how Abraham experienced the testimony of what God had promised, how he came into God's presence based on who God had called him. And we saw how what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, when the Bible says, no man taketh this honor upon himself except he that is called or invited. How did God call Abraham? A father of many nations have I made thee. Which means that the situation Abraham was in was childlessness. He didn't even have one single child at that time. And God said, when you come to me, I want you to understand, in my record book, I have recorded you as a father of many nations. So if you are going to come to worship me and give him praise, never come to me as one who doesn't have a child. Come to me as who I have called you to be. Understand, no man can take the honor of being a father of many nations unto himself, except he that God has given. So we said, what has God given you, or how has God called you? Now, in general, that was specific for Abraham. He was called father of many nations. In general, what has God called you? Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us, as it is written. Curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. So in Christ, we are blessed. Now, do you have a right to call yourself blessed? Yes, God has called you blessed. So when you enter into God's presence, you are not beggarly or weak or sickly. You are the blessed of the Lord. That's what it means to call yourself what God has called you. When you come into God's presence to praise Him and to rejoice in Him, you have to have His word dwelling inside of you. What you say to God must be what God has said about you. If you don't say what God has said about you in God's presence, you are not coming as one that is called. So we are saying, when you call yourself what God has called you, you are taking upon yourself the honor that God has given you. For whatever God has called you is an honor that God has bestowed upon you. God sees you weak and calls you rich. What do you do when you come into God's presence? You call yourself rich. Even though there may be no money in your pocket, God doesn't deal with the money in your pocket. He deals with the blessings that lead to the money that will come to your pocket. So the way God operates is this. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. What is the problem of Christians? Christians are waiting for things to change on the outside before they say it is so. And they don't understand that the principle to get things to change from the outside is to say first of all what is on the inside. In Christ Jesus, I am crazily blessed. I abound unto every good work. I am His workmanship, His personal poem. God's signature, when He finished the work, is signed by my name. You may not like it, but it's true. God carries my passport in His billfold. So wherever it's going, people, when you check His wallet, you'll see my picture there. You'll say, that's my son. Why? I call myself what God has called me. He calls my anointed. So I come before Him, Father, I want to thank You for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not asking for the anointing. I'm thanking for the overflow of the anointing. Hallelujah. I'm thanking for the abundance that I now have, which I'm definitely going to enjoy. Why? Because I'm calling myself. Abraham didn't call himself what he felt like calling himself. He called himself what God had called him. He told them, my name is no longer Abraham. My name is now Abraham. For a father of nations, as God made me. Hallelujah. So the first secret is this. You need to call yourself what God has called you. How do you discover what God has called you? You must find out what God has said about you. That's why God's word is extremely important. You need to find out the information that God has placed within his word concerning you. Once you find out, then you are equipped to say what God has said. Why don't we speak regularly? Most of us are not aware of what God has said. We don't know what God has called us. I just quoted one of them. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. And we are his workmanship, the work of his hands, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Choir just sang about it. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy people. I am a peculiar nation. Called forth, a chosen generation. Called forth out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord God is my son and my shield. He has given me grace and glory. No good thing can ever be withheld from me. What am I doing? I'm calling myself what God has called me. That's what I'm doing. I'm a priest and a king in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I've come to offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of my lips. What am I doing? I'm calling myself what God has called me. And the more I do so, the first thing that happens is within my consciousness and my understanding builds up the reality of God's word. We said last week that the Bible says, by two multiple things, it is impossible for God to lie. So God is not lying. Your experiences can lie, but your experiences will only change when you stop lying. I know you will like that. What do I mean? I'm not saying you lie consciously. I'm saying you lie due to ignorance. Lord, I'm finished. What am I going to do? You can't be finished. You have all sufficiency. You are bound unto every good work. Hallelujah. What are you saying? You are speaking according to your environment, not according to your nature. If you don't speak according to your nature is what God has given. Your nature is how God has called you. Your nature is what will prevail over your environment. So you need to step into your nature and start saying what God, because God is only saying what he has seen. You are saying what you can see in your environment, but you need to look at what God is seeing by looking at God's word. Whatever you see in God's word is what God is seeing you. He sees you victorious. He sees you successful. He sees the work of your hands prospering. He sees you walking in sound health. He sees you free from condemnation. Why? You are his righteousness. You can't improve on God's righteousness. If you are his righteousness, it can't be improved upon. It's a finished product. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are calling yourself that way. It's as you do that, that you enter into the specific. What I mean specifically, in the area of your career, God will whisper something. In the area of marriage, God will whisper something. In the area of your future, God will whisper something. The specifics will come after you take hold of the general. So you have started out with the general. You are declaring what God has said. Then someone says, what about the specific? What about my marriage? The specifics will start coming in after you started declaring the general. That's what the Bible teaches. So learn to wake up in the morning. Don't call yourself by the way you feel. Call yourself by the way God has what? Called you. You and God have to be on the same page. Don't you understand? Bible says, can two walk together except they be one? Agreed. If God calls you rich and you say you are poor, you are not in agreement. So there can be manifestation. Two is better than what? Two is what? So let me give you an illustration of that now. There is the enemy, there is you, there is God. You and God are on the same side. Two is better than that one. Do you understand? But there's a problem. The reason why two doesn't appear better is because this one in the middle is not agreeing with this one on this side. Is that listening to this one on this other side. And let me tell you, it works both ways. These two will be better than... I don't want to mention that other one. I believe you are not on that side. If this one in the middle, which is man, agrees with that one over there, the adversary, the two of them will be better than God. So they won't see God's result, they will see their results. But when I team up with God, hallelujah, something happens. Something breaks forth. Automatically speaking, the devil will be on the run. He won't be able to stop or to resist you or to stand in your way. You and God are a majority forever. Understand how it works. Amen. All right, James chapter 3 now. Let's quickly. Another reason why we declare God's word, because we need to understand in this season, God has promised us. He said 3 months, too much. Did you hear me? 3 months, too much. So if God says 3 months is too much, then we need to understand what he means by that. So, James chapter 3. Are we there? I want to read from verse 1. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Or from verse 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the old body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their old body. Behold also the ships, which they, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. Let me read verse 4 again. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever, or wherever the governor wishes. That word listens in one word. Wherever the governor desires. Verse 5. Even so the tongue. So we looked at some principles in scriptures earlier on in some of our teachings. When you see the Bible say even so, it's bringing an illustration to a conclusion. So when it talks about the sheep, it's saying, I'm not really talking about sheeps. I'm trying to explain certain things to you about the tongue. So it says, even so, means that there's a similarity in the way a sheep operates and how the tongue operates. What he's trying to establish, look at verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man, everywhere you see any man in the New Testament, is establishing a law. For instance, Mark chapter 11, most of us are familiar with verse 23 and 24. Whosoever, say whosoever. Say that means me. You know, it's amazing. Whatever the verse says, whosoever, hardly does do people practice it. And it says whosoever. It means it's guaranteed to produce as long as you practice it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what saith. That's a law. So it says, if any man offend not, it's a law. It will work for any man, particularly in Christ. Any man, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So he gives a natural illustration to explain a spiritual truth. If a man doesn't offend in word, how do words come out? Through your tongue, through what you say. If a man has mastery of words, he is able to control the whole body. Is he just talking about physical control? He's talking about much more than physical control. So we see what he's trying to say in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. King James English is wonderful. Verse 5, part A of verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member, and does what? Boasted what? Great things. The Spirit of God by the Apostle James brought out a natural illustration to illustrate something. It says, ships are great and are mighty, but don't understand one thing. They are driven by fierce winds. When a ship sails upon the seas or upon the ocean, it's driven by fierce winds. But the Bible says, don't make a mistake to think that the winds determine the destination of the ship. The winds don't determine the destination of the ship, they only drive the ship. It says where the ship is going is decided by the captain of the ship. How? By setting the rudder or the helm of the ship. So what the captain does is this, he sets the compass, or what you call the rudder of the ship, the helm. Once he sets the helm, all the winds will do is to drive the ship towards the destination set by the captain of the ship. What is he saying? Even so, in like manner, the tongue being a small member, boasted great things. The ship of your life will end up in the direction of what you have been saying, not what the world is doing. When you step into the world, situations and circumstances around you, you may not have what you call absolute control on what the other party will do, what they will do at your place of work. You may not be able to tell them this is what you should do. But I'm saying, so you have control over one thing, your tongue. You have a right to decide where you will end up in the next 5 years. How will you do it? It says, don't make a mistake of thinking that where you end up is decided at your place of work. Where you end up is not decided by your neighbors. All they can do, they are like fierce winds. They are driving the ship of your life, but they are not ones who determine the destination. How do you determine? It said your tongue. Your tongue, what you say. So what happens is this. The minute I'm declaring, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my latter days are better than my early days. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare that my future is brighter than my present. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be strong in old age, still bearing fruit. What am I doing? I'm setting the course for the next 40 years. I'm saying I will not be walking with a stick. But the environment around me is saying that, you know, people are now dying at the age of 50 of stroke. I have just separated myself from among them. Is the storm blowing? Is the wind blowing? Yes. But I'm not deciding. What is happening is not going to decide where I will be. It is what I say that determines where I will be. I'm going to say, why doesn't it work immediately? That's where the problem is. When we are in church, we confess. Everybody is a Christian in church. When we step out, is where the challenges come. So you confess this morning, and you're excited in the atmosphere. And you know the corporate atmosphere of worship helps us to declare God's word. But when you get home in the morning, what do you do? What do you say on a daily basis? What you say on a daily basis is what determines where the sheep of your life ends up, not what you say in church. You only spend 3 hours in church, but you spend most of the time with yourself on a daily basis. So what you say consistently is what you say when you're outside of church. Since usually in a week, you spend only 2 days in church. So what you say for the next of the 5 days is what really takes effect in your life. So what happens is this. Your life starts moving in direction, not of the situation that is going on around you, but by what you are saying. So a man who is constantly saying, it doesn't matter. Very soon, it won't matter. It's a matter of time. It won't matter. What we're saying is this. If you wake up on a daily basis and you have nothing to say, life will give direction to where your life is going. It will. Nature abhors vacuum. Adversity comes. Afflictions arise. But there's many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that's not where it stops. But the Lord does what? Delivers him from how many? That word means that there is complete deliverance from every, but the person who needs to be delivered needs to know what to say. Because if deliverance surrounds you and you speak destruction, it's destruction that you will have. He shall have whatsoever he saith. The deliverance of God is not automatic. God doesn't force blessings on people. He doesn't. How do blessings come? Once God has spoken, the Bible says, twice have I heard it. How many of you know that scripture? Psalm 62 verse 11. God has spoken once. How many times do I hear it? How does the hearing come? God spoke once. I heard it twice. But he spoke only once. That means there's another hearing that needs to take place on the inside of me. That where my heart is, there is another hearing that my heart needs to hear what God has said. That God has said, it doesn't mean it's automatic. It becomes automatic when my heart receives it and I begin to say it. Now, I may start out saying it without believing it. I may start out that it looks like a mirage. But there's no way I can be prosperous. That's one of the reasons why words produce images in our lives. What you say consistently forms a picture on the inside of you. Until after a while, you just can't see yourself losing out. It takes time, but it's work. In fact, that's what the Bible calls the labor of faith. That's where your laboring is. Praying for 5 hours is not true labor. If praying for 5 hours will deliver people consistently and make them prosperous, oh my God, Nigerians will be very rich. Do you know how many people attend vigils? There are people that attend vigils more than you do. They do one every week, and they pray. Why are they not seeing prosperity? Because that is not the law that produces prosperity. The law of prosperity operates by the equipment God has placed here in your mouth. No wonder everything is contesting for your mouth. Have you noticed? How easy it is to say something wrong? And how difficult it is to say something good? Okay, ladies are here. To say you are looking nice to Sister Titi and say that, do you see where she dressed? Which one is easier? Don't raise your hand. Which one is it? Which one comes naturally? I really wonder. Where did you get that shoe from? Now, everything she's wearing is good, but you single out the shoe. You see, this shoe is bad. Is it from the farm? Now, do you notice that evil things come easily to your mind and to your tongue? Why? There is a world around us that is filled with evil. So if I look into the world, I will never say the right thing. So God gave me a light to see in life and to walk in life. That light is in his word. The day I read in Ephesians chapter 4, allow no corrupt communication to proceed from your lips, but that which is good for edifying, to the edifying of every era. I understand that what I felt like saying and what I should say are two different things. If I want my life to move forward, I neglect what I feel like saying and say what I should say. We want prosperity to happen accidentally, but we're not processing the word of God in the same dimension. Prosperity is not accidental, it is deliberate. It is a result of people consistently walking God's word until there's a full manifestation. So, here's what we're saying. If you wake up in the morning, and after you've been in this church for 2 years, and you're still not confessing, you are robbing yourself blind without the devil's help. You know what I mean by that? It means that if you still have not gotten the message of confession, you are still looking at it as something that the pastor does. You won't see prosperity. It will be a mirage. I can lay hands on you until you are bald. If I had my leg, it won't work. Why? I'm not meant to determine where the shape of your life sails. You are meant to determine. So if what I'm saying over you is different from what you are saying over yourself, results won't come. That's the way God designed it. If it was possible for me to just say it and just come to pass, it means anybody can curse you and to manifest. Don't you think so? But it can't be like that. God says, the same way, look at how mighty ships are. And yet, fierce winds drive them. And yet, how they get to where they get to is not determined by the fierce winds. All the fierce winds do is assist the ship in getting to where the captain has already decided. So you see a woman who says, my marriage is going to be prosperous and full of peace. Me and my husband are going to live together in absolute love. Immediately you say that, but you learn to the hearing of the word, you say, it's a lie. Marriage is full of ups and downs. Now, the person who said that, that is what you believe. But that is not what I believe. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your... Not according to your faith, according to my faith. Why are you trying to cancel what I'm saying? Is it your business? Can you see the problem? Be deceiving yourself. Be deceiving yourself. Marriage is full of us now. You will always fight. No, we won't always fight. We will always live in peace. You see the problem? We have accepted the wrong things. And those things are affecting because what you want to say, you leave it because of what somebody has said. Somebody gave you a contrary opinion. Have you ever seen it in the Bible before that marriage is full of ups and downs? Have you seen it before? Is it in the Bible? Let me give you another quotation. Heaven helps those that help themselves. Is it in the Bible? Listen, they sound good. It doesn't sound good. No, heaven helps those that Jesus has helped. Not those who help themselves. You are not designed to help yourself. Jesus is your helper. Do you understand? Now, it sounds good. You know what? In fact, people use it to do evil. Have you noticed? That had 1 month 0 to that check where everyone helps those who help themselves. No, that's Satan helping you. And he will ensure you get to jail as you are going. So there are statements that sound good, but they don't have any root in God's word. Because they don't have any root in God's word, when you say them, you are not releasing life. Your life will still go in that direction, but that's not life. God already has a pre-arranged conclusion for your life. He has said it in his word. The thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace. Jeremiah 29:11. Not of evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. So God has an expectation over my life. He expects me to cooperate by using my tongue to say those same things. If I don't say those same things, God's expectation will not be realized in my life. One of the ways I worship God is to ensure that God's expectations are realized in my life. Do you know there are people in this world that never fall sick? I know you'll be wondering, are you saying that they don't even take Panadol? Yes, they don't even take Panadol. But what's the problem? Have you found in scriptures? He forgiveth all your iniquities. He healeth all your diseases. If it is all he has forgiven and all he has healed, what is left? All means all, less none. But if you keep saying that, you know, at least once in a month, a man should fall sick, you have set a law for yourself. You know, say that pregnancy is tough. In fact, the Bible says that God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. So when you are going to the hospital to give birth, you know, things can be should be very hard. No, but another word in the Bible that counsels the first one says that she shall be saved in the day of childbearing if she continues in the faith. Choose which one you want to follow. Eve's law or Jesus' law. She shall be saved in the day of childbearing if she continues where? In the faith. That's what the Bible says. So a woman, before she goes to the delivery room, not the labor room, the delivery room, you are going there to deliver. You are not going there to labor. Say amen. Yes. Jesus has taken over the labor. If all unbelievers can give birth in their home, in their homes, before the doctor can get there, how much more you, a child of the New Testament, a new creation, the finished work of God. You know what people do? 7 months after they are pregnant, Pastor, let us pray. It's too late to pray. 7 months. Which miracle do we want to do for you to believe now that in 2 months time when you are going to put there, everything will be fine? You now want to do emergency. You can't arrange God into emergency mode. God is not afraid. You are the one afraid. And you should have spent time deciding. Not even when you get pregnant, before you get pregnant. That when I get pregnant, this is how the delivery will be. What are you doing? You are saying it in advance. You are setting the course of your life. If you don't, others will set it for you. Oh, watch what you say and observe 90% of the content of your words. You will see there are people who have sown into your life and you are saying what they've said. Some have sown good seed, some have sown wrong seed. But God's intent is this. If you want the ship to get to destination, what you should do is you decide where it's going. So even though things are rough now, the winds also are fierce upon the ship. It doesn't decide where the ship is going. It is the captain of the ship. You are the captain of your life. Jesus is the one who is driving the ship through you. Jesus is saying, say this. What do? You say what Jesus is saying. You say what Jesus is saying. How do you say what Jesus is saying? You say what he has said about you, and you say exactly where you are going. In the next 5 years, we will have so amount in the bank. We'll prosper. We'll be distributors of God's abundance. What are you doing? You are saying it. That this one I just told you supersedes business plans. This is the one that gives back to business plans. Because in order for that to come to pass, it will be broken down inside your heart. The businesses you should do to make that a fulfillment. But you have already set the course. You are not saying if inflation goes to so and so level. No, no, no. It's not dependent on inflation. It is the economy of heaven. God's word brings to you the economy of heaven. It says in spite of what is happening, this can still come in. That's what the economy of heaven says. What do? You start saying it. Are you falling sick regularly? What have you done about it? You know, the time is coming when certain malaria drugs will not work again. Ask doctors, they will tell you that the malaria, parasite, is mutating and it's becoming resistant. In fact, some years back, it started killing people again. All the ones that worked in it was so they combined. They started doing what you call combinations. Combination drugs. What were they doing? Trying to fight it. And God is giving them wisdom. But the time comes when you need to wake up and tell yourself, I will no longer be sick on a monthly basis. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I am taking a hold of my full redemption. Isaiah 33 says that those who belong to that company shall not say, I am sick. That's what the Bible says. They shall not say, I'm sick. What shall they say? I am well. I am whole. But what's the problem? We feel it's foolishness. How can I say I am well when I'm feeling sick? I'm not well, Gary. Ah. This is where we have a problem. I'm like, say, as you say, I'm rich. Which rich? Which rich? I don't even know what I will eat this afternoon. I'm not rich. Please. Let me say it the way it really is. That is when it really becomes what you have just said. Because when you said, I am not rich, Gary, the person who was supposed to bring provision was stopped on the way and diverted to somebody else who was saying, money cometh, money cometh, money cometh. And then he begins to magnetize what was coming your direction. Because you have said, I'm not rich, Gary. Let us keep it real. No, no, no. If you really want to keep it real, you are rich. You are crazily blessed. The health that is in your account overflows. You cannot finish withdrawing it. So if you are talking about, let us keep it real. This is how to keep it real. Nothing is more real than the word of God. Every other thing you see is a mirage. You can't change God's word, but you can change your situations. You can't. So you need to understand why we say what we say. It's not just a Christian fad. Ah, this is eternal life in manifestation. This is how life manifests. Let me quickly show us something before we close this morning. Go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Matthew, don't start playing here too. Don't round me up if I round up. What's all that? All right. Psalm 37. Are you there? Let me show you something. Are you there? All right. Go with me to verse 30. Glory to God. I'm going to do verse 30, 31, and 37. I want to show you the connection. Are you there? Okay, look at verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talks of what? Judgment. Verse 31, the law of this God in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Let me read that again. The mouth of the righteous speaketh what? Wisdom. Notice he's a righteous. What kind of wisdom does the righteous speak? Let me ask you. What kind of wisdom? There are different kinds of wisdom. How do we know the kind of wisdom this man is speaking? Because he's righteous, we can tell what kind of wisdom he's speaking. If the Bible calls him righteous, he can only speak what kind of wisdom? Which kind of wisdom? Divine wisdom. So the mouth of the righteous speaketh divine wisdom, and his tongue talks of what? Judgment. That word judgment there, that's O King James. That word judgment means he declares verdicts. He declares sentences. Let me explain what I mean. You know, when you go to court, you get a verdict, and it becomes law. So what the same way he says, his tongue talks of judgment. His tongue talks of what you call divine verdicts, which is he's deciding the outcome of a matter before the matter fully unravels. That's what the Bible says when it talks about Job, in Job 22, when it says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto who? Unto who? Unto who? Unto the person that declares. Thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be established unto you. So it says the mouth of the righteous speaks divine wisdom. His tongue declares divine sentences. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall one slide. What does that mean? As he's living day by day, as he goes about his activities, every decision he's making, even those that should end him up, raise him up. The law of his God is where? In his heart. That law, because of what he has been declaring, has now become a law unto him, is guiding all his affairs, is determining his outcome. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall what? Slide. Look at that verse 37. Are you there? What does it say? Mark the what? And behold thee, for the end of that man is what? Hallelujah. Mark the perfect. Pay special attention to the perfect man. Who is a perfect man? A mature man. Who is a mature man? A man who has learned how to use words. So mark or pay special attention to the perfect man. See how the upright man lives. How is he upright? By the things he's declaring. It says the outcome of that man is what? Peace. That word peace in the Jewish tradition, when they greet you peace, what it means? Nothing is missing in your life. Nothing is broken in your life. So here's what he's saying. We go through the same situations every day. Some come out broken, some come out whole. What is the difference? What they are saying. The law is in another person's heart. The law is not in the other person's heart. So this one enters the situation with the law. The one goes in without any law. What happens? The situation determines his outcome. The other person determines the outcome of the situation. There's a difference. The one who has the law in his heart, why? His mouth is speaking wisdom. His tongue is declaring divine verdicts and divine sentences. It says, mark that man. Behold that upright person. The end or the outcome of that man is what? Is peace. So here's what happens. Many times, things in the environment will appear to go wrong. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing or have no anxiety about everything. But in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication we want, thanksgiving. Let your request be what? Made known to God. And the peace of God, that dimension that brings nothing missing and nothing broken, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So here's what happens. It's not every single time that a negative situation will not happen. What is guaranteed that the outcome will not be negative? Let me say that again. It is not guaranteed that negative things won't happen because you are in a fallen world. But what is guaranteed that your own outcome in the same situation will not be what? Negative. How do you get there? If your mouth is speaking wisdom, and your tongue is releasing divine verdicts every single time. For instance, now I've already decided, my children will be like olive trees round about my table. The divine intelligence of God is at work in it. I declare over them every night, when you sleep, you meditate a good matter. So there's no way they can have bad dreams. When you lie down, nothing shall make you afraid. You will sleep and your sleep shall be sweet. That's what I see over them. When they are going out in the morning, I said, you have more intelligence than your teachers. You understand all things. For the wisdom of God is at work in you. I'm giving them what you call a head start in life. So they won't struggle like I struggled in certain areas. Hallelujah. I have understanding. I know all things. Mysteries are solved through me. For the wisdom of God is at work in me. What are you saying? You are claiming that wisdom, then the wisdom becomes what? Manifest. So what we are saying is this. If that's what you are saying regularly, when a situation arises, you are not going to end up on the other side. You are going to end up on the right side. Why? There's a law already at work. It is that law that all situations around you obey. You need to understand that. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright. The end or the outcome of that man is peace. Nothing will be missing. Nothing will be broken. If there is a downsizing at your place of work, naturally everybody in your environment will be afraid. What if they sack me? But what is the Lord that is in your heart? Because it's going to determine every step that you take that you won't make a mistake. If that law, as you have declared, says you should leave, you will know when to leave. If that law says you should stay, that you're above, as they're sacking some people, that may be your own time for promotion. But the problem is this, when they are doing so, and there's no law on the inside, you will say what the other people are saying. And if you say what they are saying, you will experience what they're experiencing. That happens. I don't know of any organization where there are rumors they're going to downsize. You don't see people start talking up and down. They start moving in small, small clusters. Start meeting in offices. Can you imagine? They say they will sack us. Are you not already sacked? Are you not already sacked? They say they will sack us. And you said us. You included yourself in the list. That's what they start discussing. They know nothing about God's word. They think that the outcome of their life is decided by the company. No. The outcome of your life is decided by the law of God that's in your heart. Had you said that law, your tongue, a little member, it boasts of what? Great things. If your mouth is speaking that wisdom and you are declaring that sentence on a regular basis, after a while, the things that happen within your environment are no longer accidents. They are deliberate orchestrations that God has released because of what you are saying. And you know, everybody has mouth and we cannot talk. How come very people are saying the right things? That's what the challenge is. Think about it. It's going to take you more energy to declare God's word than it will take you to pray. How many of us pray? Let me see your hands. You pray. How many of us pray regularly? Don't raise up your hand. You pray regularly. Okay, those that are bold are praying up their hand. I'm not talking 2 minutes. So. Father, forgive me. Forgive my family. Forgive everybody. Amen. And God is saying that, when will you talk to me beyond forgiveness? What about that other thing that you wanted to do? Because Father, forgive me for yesterday, for the day before. Forgive me for tomorrow. In Jesus' name. And then you move on. Father, watch over me. Go with me to work as I'm going. It's not an errand boy. Go with me, follow me back as I'm coming. No, all you need to say is that my going out is blessed. And my coming in is blessed. That's all you need to say. Hey, go with me, go with me. As I was meditating yesterday on the fact that we were, the way we just parked in front of someone who was the one who was responsible, we were supposed to fix the fan of the car. Now we just parked in front of us there. The Spirit of God said, as it's written, I have said I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my what? Helper. I will not be afraid. He said, if I said I will not leave you nor forsake you, which means I never go on break, even for a short time. He said, if I never leave, do you think the angels will leave? That's what he said. He said, since I'm the Lord of the angels, if I don't leave, do you think they will leave? He said, so when you are saying I will never leave, understand, the angels to the station, they also will never leave. Why are you not experiencing them more often? Because you are not speaking as often as you should. You are not seeing consistently what you should see. And now you experience to be. You know what we want to do? We want to see the angels first, and then we'll believe. No, you will not believe still. If an angel comes to visit you tonight, the whole church prays for you. Lord, let an angel come to visit Brother Gibola. Brother Gibola will not wake up tomorrow and still believe. You will still be back to your carnal self. A spiritual experience doesn't change your carnality. If you are carnal, you will still be carnal after the experience. No. Your spirituality improves by your practice of God's word. It doesn't change by spiritual experiences. If it changes, all the laying of hands in this world should have changed you by now. Why haven't you changed? It doesn't change that way. It changes by your practice of God's word. So, I'm saying that God's largesse and abundance and success will not be fully manifest until you begin to say about yourself what God has what said. Then ask yourself this question. If I keep saying, I am tired, I'm sick, I'm weak, things are not working, is that what I really want to experience? If that is not what you want to experience, ask yourself the second question. Then why am I saying that? Since my life will go in the direction of what I what say, why am I saying things I don't want to see? What do I want to see? If I ask you, who wants to have a house by January next year? Everybody, is there anybody who doesn't want to have a house? That is in your own name. The sea of everything is written in your name. Two brand new cars parked in front of it. It's your own business. You're no longer working for anybody. Everybody raise their hand. It's easy to raise hand. When we now say, come out and say it. Some people, the reason why they won't get up is that, how will it be? You are like Zechariah. How will it be? He has prayed and prayed and prayed. That's why we'll be pregnant. When the angel came, your prayers are answered. He said, how? How? Have you read that story before? He said, how? The question is, why are you praying for the child if you don't believe that you have? We say, your prayers are answered. He said, how? So the question is, as you're seated there now, if the challenge you have is how, the only way to silence that how is to say what God has what said. It doesn't cost God. If God brought Joseph from prison to palace one day, one night, he can still do the same because he hasn't changed. It is people that have changed. He can still turn people into what you call overnight. But what we call overnight is really consistently laboring in declaring God's word. You don't start declaring about children when it's time to have children, or when you have had them. You start declaring before the children come. You don't start talking about how your relationship with marriage will be before, after you get married. You start declaring before you get married. You're going to have a sweet home. You're going to have a wonderful job. You're going to pay so and so. And when you are declaring it, notice it's not necessarily based on your qualification. It's based on the qualification of your mouth. Haven't you seen drivers? When I say drivers now, somebody was going to be driving more expensive cars. If you certificate, there are some people that will not be wealthy in this Nigeria. Yes or no? Yes or no? Don't overvalue certificates. People don't get rich in Nigeria by certificates. They have certificate to show people. Then they get rich by other means. And not all of them are ungodly. Say amen. Not all of them are ungodly. How many of you know this man, Cosmas? Mr. Cosmas Maduka. Coscaris. You know Coscaris? Okay, that one you will know. You may not know the man that's behind it. You know the kind of cars they bring into the country? Not only cars, spare parts and some other things. Okay, do you know he didn't go to university? Oh, you don't know? Okay, let me make it worse for you. He didn't go to secondary school. I've just made it worse. Do you know how much he has? And he's a Christian, by the way. So he didn't steal money. In case you are thinking, all those politicians. He's not a politician. He didn't steal money. He's a businessman. Do you know how much percentage he contributes to the economy of the nation? He doesn't have secondary school degree. He left the village in the hands of an uncle. I was handed over to be an apprentice before he started up. That's the owner of Coscaris. He employs people that have some of the best certificates in Nigeria without having certificates. But he employs those that have certificates. That's when they are doing your interview. You must have a very good grade before you can come in. But he doesn't have certificates. It's not by certificates. It's by the favor of God. Do you understand? It's not by what? Certificate. It's by what? The favor of God. You don't marry well by looking good. These ladies. They know from experience. Because if you want to be, just like you don't want to be carnal. You've been to some weddings, you are thinking, what did this man see in this? What is there? But you didn't want to say it. He's like, how? How? Why are you saying how? The lady's doing like this. They're saying how? That is telling you, this is how. It doesn't come by just looking good. Don't you understand? If people are going to be wealthy by speaking grammar, I can't tell you how many people will be very wealthy now. Just by speaking grammar. It's not by grammar. It's by the favor of God. You have to take matters out of the hand of circumstances and place it in your own hands. And begin to deliberately say, and remember, it is not really over until it is over. Who determines when it's over? You and God. So it doesn't matter what is happening now. What matters is what will happen. How do you tell me what will happen? What are you saying now? How does a man give up? He doesn't give up by lying down. He gives up by stopping, by shutting his mouth. If you are no longer saying what is right because you have faced some challenges, the Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But a wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength. Increases strength. After receiving mandate from God, my wife will tell you, Pastor Lee was there. The pastors are here. After the mandate, the mandate is really one by one that from here, divine visitation. Then you come to church, 10 people. 10 people. You go back and pray and confess. You come back, 9 people, minus one. You say, you go and pray hard again, then 10 again. You pray at then 15. You say, the Lord is working. Then come next Sunday, 8. See, then you ask yourself, did God call me? I hope they've not taken my resignation letter, they've not taken it, they've not fired it away. Let me go and reconsider. What are you doing in the fight of faith? It's a beautiful fight. Because when the results come, it will affect every other thing that you do. Every other thing that you do. What do? We give up too soon. Most of us think we're not handling reality. When I'm saying that I'm well, and I'm feeling sick in my body, I'm saying, bros, be real to yourself. But I'm being real. I am actually well. I am well. Look at me. I am rich. I am a distributor of abundance. I send car loads and truck loads to nations of the world. I am a relief to the masses. I am not one of the masses. I am a blessing in my generation and eternal excellency. My name is being spoken of 10 generations after me. Of the favor of God that was manifest in my life. If you go and look outside at your car, it won't look like, so since you have only one car, which truck load? No. You call those things which be not, as though they what? They are. You don't call based on your paycheck. No. Your paycheck doesn't limit God. It only limits you. Rise beyond your paycheck and see what God will do. That's the way God operates. Learn to speak. Learn to completely clear. You know what people have done? They've taken this technique. It's a technique to them. Then they go home. Then do 1, 2, 3 days. Then they get up and look out. It doesn't work. Let me go back to my complaining. The complaining I've been complaining all these days. Has that one also worked? No. That's what people do. They don't consistently stay with God's word. And so results don't come. I've been saying for a long time, I can't be stranded. If I don't say it again now, it will keep on happening automatically. Do you know why? I've been saying for a long time, I cannot be what? Stranded. What has happened? It has become a law in my heart. Wherever I go, help will always come. If I park beside the bush, somebody will come out of the bush. It's not where I stay. It is who I am. I'm carrying it with me. Hallelujah. Do you understand? I'm carrying the help with me where I'm at. Once it becomes a law, it becomes a law. Say, I can never be stranded in life. I can never be without assistance. Things are always working together for my good. Men are being raised up to assist me. My name is being mentioned in the right places. I am sitting with those that matter. I am a king and a priest. Everything I do matters in life. My generation is proud of me. The generations to come are blessed by me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I am raised up a king in my generation. I'm a distributor of good things. I have all sufficiency in all good things. I excel in all areas of life. Wealth and abundance are in my house. Even riches and honor, they overflow. In all my affairs, I have wisdom. I am guided by discretion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of excellence is at work in me. I approve of excellent things every day of my life. My steps are ordered by God. I enjoy supernatural victories. Hallelujah. I enjoy supernatural victories. My victory is not occasional. My victory is not sometimes. My victory is every day. Glory to God for that. Lift up your hands and thank Him. My victory is every day. 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 So my supply is every day. It doesn't matter how things look. My supply is every day. He that watches over me doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. My life is not subject to calamity or accidents. My victory is confirmed in Christ Jesus. And I declare that my victory is manifest. In all that I do, I experience divine favor. I walk in the light of His countenance at all times. I know who I am. 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 I walk in the light of His favor. The supernatural is my natural area. In the name of Jesus, I abide in the supernatural. I abound unto every good work in life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we give You praise this morning. And we exalt Your name. Thank You for Your mighty presence. Thank You because You are the glory and the lifter up of our heads. Things are working for us like never before. This is a season of increase for us. We increase on a daily basis. We experience divine bounty in all of our experiences. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' precious name.